Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, wellness, health, freedom, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. And happy holidays, y'all. I am thrilled and honored that we are joined by Helga Tackreiter. Helga is joining us via Skype in Shiloh, New Jersey. And Helga is the founder of The Cow Sanctuary. Her life is fascinating, and we're here all about it. Welcome, Helga, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you for having me, Marlene.
Well, I am just, again, so thrilled about this. There's so much to cover. Let's start out with hearing about the lightning herd.
Would you like to know why they are called the lightning herd?
Yes.
I was working on a farm, and there was a huge lightning storm. And when I went to feed the cows, they weren't where they usually are. So I went looking for them, and I found them out in the field by a tree, and almost all of them were dead. They were just lying there with their feet stuck up in the air, and apparently lightning had hit the area and had traveled through the ground from one cow to another, and the only survivors, there were a bunch of mothers and a bunch of babies that were killed, and there were six little babies that survived. And I called them the lightning herd because that's how they came into existence, as a herd, a little herd of themselves.
And how did you end up with these calves?
Well, I worked there, and when the little calves, the six calves, survived the lightning storm, I said, if they survive that, they are not going to get murdered by people. They're going to live. I don't know how I'm going to make it possible, but somehow or the other, I'm going to make it possible.
Let's hear about how you made it possible.
Well, I had them at the farm where I worked. It was actually a horse farm, and they had cows on the side. And after the cows were killed by the lightning, and just the six babies survived, I swore that I would just make sure that the babies were okay, and the farmer that owned the place thought that I would get over it. And so he let me just keep the cows there, thinking I'd just, you know, give up. And I didn't give up. I took every cent of my wages, and I made $5 an hour. So it took a long time, but in 2 years, I had made enough money to buy them all, one by one. I had them registered under my name so that nobody could claim that they were not my cows. And so I had them there, and we had a big fight because he wanted me to send one of the horses to slaughter. And I said, no. And he said, well, you have to. And I said, I won't. And he said, just load that horse on the truck. And I said, I'll pull the spark plugs off your truck so you can't take him to the slaughterhouse. I'm sorry, you can't kill him for no reason except that his children aren't winning races and making you money. And so that got me fired. He handed me my paycheck the next day and said, you have 24 hours to get out of here. And he probably thought that I was going to have to leave my cows behind, because what was I going to do with them? And I went to my the neighbor next door to the farm where I worked, and they had a tomato farm, and it was wintertime, and so they weren't actually packing tomatoes in the tomato packing house. And they agreed to let me put the cows in the tomato packing house. And I had trained all the cows to walk on a leash, so to speak, on a halter and a lead rope. And I walked the cows one by one across the field and into their tomato packing house and put them in there. And in the morning, I handed the boss the key, and he said, well, what did you do with the cows? And I very rudely said, none of your business. They're not here. Yeah. I just walked them out on a leash.
So you really did a great service all around. Yeah. Thank you.
They were about 2 years old when he fired me.
That's
how I got the cows out of there.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, Helga. Thank you. And what happened next after the cows were in the tomato barn?
Well, I went to realtors and I said, I need a farm to put the, you know, they can't stay in the tomato barn forever. They ended up staying there for 6 weeks. But that was, you know, it was winter time and they were safe and cozy. But I needed a real farm. And so I went to a realtor, said, need a real farm. And they said, well, do you have a down payment, dear? And I said, no. They said, well, you need a down payment in order to buy a farm. You know that, don't you? I said, I know that, but I don't have a down payment. And I don't even actually have a job right now. I might have a job soon. And I did get a job at a greenhouse where I didn't have to exploit any animals. And I just went around looking at every for sale sign, and I found one that the people had bought the farm as an investment. And when the man died, his family went to cash in the investment. And I spoke to the wife and I told her what I wanted to do. And she said, well, I asked her if she'd be willing to hold a mortgage, a second mortgage behind the bank, instead of a down payment. And she said she'd be willing to do that. So that was the first miracle, is that I bought a farm without having any money. Just, I signed my life away, but I did it without any money because of this wonderful, miraculous woman that allowed me to have a second mortgage. And then moved to the farm, had a boyfriend at the time. We broke up and he said, we're selling the farm. And I said, we can't, I don't have a place for the cows. And he said, well, we are. And just at that time, I got a letter in the mail from somebody who was looking for a home for their cow. They didn't actually, they loved this cow. The cow came over and made nice to them when they walked their babies past with the stroller. And they asked the farmer if they could buy her. And he said, well, do you have a place to put her? And they said, no. So they were looking for a place to put this cow. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I don't even know what I'm going to do with my cows. I'm having to put the farm up for sale. And they said, well, what can we do to help? And I said, well, you could co-sign my mortgage. And I said it sort of as a joke. And they said, oh, we'd be happy to do that. And I said, well, I think you better talk to your attorney, because that's a big deal if you co-signed for somebody that you've never even met. And they said, well, we believe in what you're doing. We'll talk to our attorney. They came back the next day and they said, our attorney said we were out of our minds, but we don't care. We're still going to do it. Just show us where to sign. And that's how I was able to keep the farm. That was the second miracle. And that's why I'm still here, because of those two wonderful people that just had faith in what I was doing and wanted to help.
Wow, miracles do happen.
Yeah.
What year did the Cow Sanctuary start in New Jersey?
I moved here in 1993. So that's been 32 years now, I think. 93. I'm sorry, Marlene.
I have to do that too. right, so that's
whatever. I moved here in 1993, and now it's 2024.
Wow.
Whatever that turns out to be.
Wow, that is fascinating. Lovely. Very good. Thank you, Helga. And how long have you been a vegan?
Oh, since I was 29, I guess. I worked at a dairy farm, and at the time I was already a vegetarian, but I didn't know the connection between milk and meat. I thought they were two entirely different things. I didn't realize that a cow had to have a baby and that her body made milk for the baby. You know, I had no idea. I just thought that cows made milk the way that trees make leaves. And when I found out that that was not the case, I stopped drinking milk and eating any milk products because it was, you know, just one step away from, you know, killing the cow.
Yes, thank you. And I'm grateful that we're living in the era where the Enlightenment is happening so that people understand that humans don't need to be consuming the breast milk of bovines or goats or camels. It's so unnatural. When you think about it, it's like all mammals are weaned after infancy or toddlers. That's it. You're weaned. I know many don't understand what goes on in the dairy industry and that the dairy cows, the mothers, all end up at slaughterhouses as well.
As soon as they can't make milk. And they can't make milk if they can't get pregnant. And when a female gets old, whether it's a human female or a bovine female, you know, at a certain point, they stop being able to have babies. And if a cow can't have a baby, she's not going to make milk. Her body makes milk for the baby. And so, you know, when she gets too old to get pregnant, it's, you know, it's off to the slaughterhouse.
Yes, it's awful, awful. Well, I'd love to hear more of the story of the cow sanctuary and also the one about, I think it might have been the first cow that came to the sanctuary after your six Angus, the beef cattle that you rescued. And again, we don't like to use those words, beef cattle, in the vegan community, but to help everyone understand what is happening here with the transition and about the young girl with the in 4-H.
Yes. Okay, that was the first cow that was a different cow other than the six original ones was a cow that had been raised by a 4-H child, girl, and she was a Scottish Highland cow. They have long, shaggy hair, and they are also beef cows. And when it came time to sell the cows, which is what 4-H kids have to do, the kid objected. She said, "No, I love my cow. I don't want her to go to slaughter." And the 4-H club said, "Well, she's your project, but she actually belongs to the club. So, sorry, kid." And they took her off to the slaughterhouse. And the girl went to the slaughterhouse, walked in, and it turned out that the machinery that hung the cows up, you know, to get their throats slit, was broken, and they were working on it, the mechanics were working on it. And she just walked in with a lead rope and a halter, crying her eyes out, and said, "That's my cow. You can't have her." And she just walked away with her, and the workers didn't stop her. And she walked down the street. A police car stopped her, said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm a 4-H kid. I'm taking my cow for a walk. Do you mind?" And they let her go. And she kept on going until she found a barn. She hid the cow in the barn and called PETA, because the 4-H leader had said that PETA were the people that were very drastically against exploitation of cows. And so PETA called me and asked if I would allow that cow to join my six cows. And I said yes, and that's how she joined our herd.
Is that Beatrice?
That's Beatrice.
Oh, Beatrice is beautiful. Yeah.
Yes, Beatrice is very, very photogenic.
Yes, the Scottish Highlander, Beatrice. Wow.
Yeah.
And was this still all in New Jersey?
Yes, this was all in New Jersey.
Okay.
So, and one interesting thing about Scottish Highland cows, which I didn't know at first, is that the girls' horns point up and the boys' horns point down. They're the only breed of cattle that has that actual feature. And so you can always tell if it's a boy or a girl by which direction their horns are pointing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
Oh, and
I didn't know that either for a long time.
Yes, and the set of horns on the female Scottish Highlanders are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're very beautiful cows.
We're listening to Helga Tackreiter, founder of The Cow Sanctuary in Shiloh, New Jersey. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Helga.
Now the time has come that you listen and watch and then act. Please listen and watch and then act. Hörst du sie schreien?
Go vegan, go vegan.
Listening to Annette Rudart in Munich, Germany. Go vegan.
Go vegan, go vegan.
Do you see them die?
Go vegan, go vegan.
Please let us all.
Go vegan, go vegan.
Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're continuing our conversation with Helga Tackreiter, founder of the Cow Sanctuary. Helga is joining us via Skype from Shiloh, New Jersey. Well, thank you. Thank you, Helga. And now I'd like to hear about your book, Harvey and the Lightning Herd.
Well, I wrote that book a long time ago when the cows were babies. And at that time, nobody wanted it. And so it just sort of stayed in the background. And a couple of years ago, Peter called me. I had given the book to Peter, asking if they could publish it, and they said that they, at that time, did not publish children's books. And it turns out this is the first children's book that they've published. And they asked if, you know, they could do it, but they wanted it illustrated for children. I had it illustrated with photographs, you know, of the real cows. And so my friend Denise was an illustrator, and she illustrated it. And she knew all the animals that she was illustrating, because she actually has some of the animals are named after herself and her husband. And so it just came to be, finally, after 35 years.
Wow. That's something.
It was a delightful surprise for me.
Yes, and I like the name, Harvey and the Lightning Herd.
They were a herd because of lightning. They, you know, lightning killed their mothers, but it saved their lives.
Yes, yes. And is Denise the one who, besides being the illustrator for your book, Harvey and the Lightning Herd, was that another one who brought another cow to your sanctuary?
No. She and her husband visited the sanctuary, and there were three little pigs that had just come to keep another pig company, and they were little pigs, and they didn't have names. And when they visited, they became quite attached to these pigs, these little piglets. And I said, well, they don't have names, could I name them after you? And they said yes. So one of them was named after the woman who actually rescued the pigs and piglets originally. And the other two were named after Denise and her husband, Harish. So I had Harish. Denise, I knew that he was going to end up being called Dennis, the menace. And so I used Denise's last name, Tremblay. It seemed like a more respectable name for a pig than Dennis the Menace.
Oh, nice, nice. Who else is in your sanctuary?
Oh, well, right now, there are 14 cows and 14 pigs, 3 sheep, 3 goats, 2 donkeys, a mini horse, an emu, and 4 cats, and 12 geese.
Lovely. Oh, that's great. I would love to hear about your art pieces, couches that you made and sold as a way of supporting and feeding the calves in the early days.
Harvey helped me. Harvey was one of the cows, and he had been sick, and so I paid a great deal more attention to him. And one day he just came, and I had this idea to make the cows, and he just came to the barn and stood next to me while I was trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. And I realized that maybe he was offering to help. I mean, it took me a little while to realize that. I thought maybe he wanted something to eat. Maybe, maybe he wanted pets. But no, he just stood there. He didn't want to eat anything. He didn't want to be petted. He just stood there. And so I draped material over him. And he stood still for 5 hours while I cut out a pattern around him. And that's how I made the first couch. I called it a couch as a sort of a little catchy name.
Right, the couch is C-O-W-C-H-E-S.
Yeah, or just a couch. They were big. They were as big as a cow, which is 8 feet long. At the time, Harvey was 8 feet long.
Yes, and the couches are beautiful. I've seen them on your website. So special. That's awesome.
Well, it was all due to Harvey's volunteering to be the model.
Yes, that's a lovely story. Thank you. We're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
As far as being vegan, there are so many vegan options now. If you go into a grocery store, half of the milk counter is plant milk. You can buy vegan cheese. You can buy vegan everything. It's really easy to not eat animal products now.
And what is your website? Another or any other contact information that you'd like to share?
Oh, the website is thecowsanctuary.org. And any information that you need to know about being vegan is available from PETA's website, and that's PETA.org.
Well, that's great to know that after 30-something years that PETA has published the book.
Yes. So if you want to get the book, go to PETA and check it out. You can't get it from my website. You have to get it from the PETA website. And my telephone number is 856-455-6637.
Thank you, Helga. And thank you for all you do. And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thanks for having me, Marlene.
Okay, we're listening to Helga Tackreiter, founder of the Cow Sanctuary in Shiloh, New Jersey, that she founded in 1993. And Helga is the author of Harvey and the Lightning Herd, a children's book, a vegan children's book.
Okay, well, thank you for doing this, Marlene.
Thank you, Helga. It's just really wonderful. Well, I hope to connect with you again in the future and do another interview in the future sometime.
Okay, or come visit if you're ever down this way. I'm an hour south of Philadelphia.
Oh, that's good to know. Good. Thanks again, Helga.
Thank you, Marlene.
Okay, good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Cows are amazing and they're part of our community. Cows are amazing, gotta treat them like family. They're as special as you or me. What can we learn about cows? They're gentle and giant. They're curious and interactive. They come running when something interesting's afoot and prefer to hang out in herds. They build such deep friendships and complex relationships. They love to groom each other and they love a good ear massage. Their babies are called calves and they love those babies so much. Oh, while mama will walk for miles to find her baby if they ever get lost. I hope they never get lost. Each one an individual, unique in their own way. Pigs are amazing, and they're part of our community. about pigs. They're incredibly intelligent and extremely friendly and clean. They've got their own language for communicating, and they hang out together in drifts. They have complex social structures, create long-lasting bonds and friendships. They cover themselves in mud to stay cool, and they really love a good belly rub. Their babies are called piglets, and they love those babies so much. Oh, they love to take lots of cuddly naps with each other in a big old pile. Big old piggy pile. Each one an individual, unique in their own way. Chickens are amazing, and they're part of our community. Chickens. Chickens evolved from dinosaurs, and they can sleep with one eye open. They remember and recognize faces, and have 30 unique vocalizations, and they can even see in ultraviolet and infrared light. They have feelings and show empathy, and they love to be held and petted. Their babies are called chicks, and they love those babies so much. Even talk back and forth with their babies while they're still inside their eggshells. Still inside their little eggshells. Each one an individual, unique in their own way. How do we treat the beings in our community, the members of our family? We treat them with respect and generosity, and care and kindness, and compassion and understanding, joy and celebration, with connection and protection, with welcoming and love.
Cows Are Amazing by Charity and the Jam Band from their children's album, The Vegan Album. And here's Hot Chocolate.
You got the little seeds growing on the trees, smiling in the breeze, saying.
Thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com and also wcuw.org/community/vegan nation.
Hot chocolate, look a look a look all it. We like a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot of it. Blow a little, sip a little, drink a little. Down, 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 drink it down.
Enjoy the holidays.
You got milk so delicious, made from plants, it's auspicious and extra nutritious. A lot, a lot, a lot.